Welcome. Okay, let's try it again. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah. Good morning.
Woo.
It is a privilege to be here with you all this morning. Let me also just pause to welcome those who are watching us online. From wherever in the world you're watching, we just want to say welcome, whether it's right here in the USA, in the Middle East, or in Central or South America. We just want to say welcome. Could you put our hands together for those who are watching us online? And if this is your first time here, I just want to say welcome to our series on Galatians. We are going through the book of Galatians, and we are doing a series subtitled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Jesus. And for those who may be wondering, who is that on stage? My name is Herbert. I'm on staff here at church. And some people know me as a youth pastor. And some know me as a student pastor. But I work with youth and college students here. And it is a privilege to be here. So, again, we're doing a series, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Jesus. And it's been a wonderful series so far. Started with Pastor Lacey, Pastor Robin did an excellent job for the last 2 weeks. And I get to carry the baton this week. This week we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5. I want to suggest that there are three main freedoms that Paul speaks about in this chapter, Galatians chapter 5. And if you've never yet read the book of Galatians, I want to encourage you to do so. It's not a very long book, 6 chapters, and you can probably all read that in half of your lunch break. And if you don't want to read it all at once, you can read it a chapter a day for 5 days. But it helps if you read it ahead of time so you get a feel of where we're going and what's going on in a passage. So, firstly, I want to suggest that Paul wants us to be free from legalism. Paul speaks a lot about free from law. And then, in the day and age that he wrote, he was speaking more so about the Mosaic law. Somewhere, someone had come in and was trying to tell the Christians that if you are going to be a true Christian, you have to obey the laws of Moses. This is a few thousand years later, and we don't stress as much the laws of Moses as some of the other laws that we have put in place. But I want us to think, what are some of the things that we use, that we hold on to, that prevents us or prevents people from coming to and following Jesus? I think Paul wants us to be free of legalism because legalism is oppressive. Paul uses the word, do not be entangled, do not be wrapped up, do not be ensnared in the yoke. Do not be caught, is what Paul is saying. What legalism does is that it presents a checklist of things that we have to fulfill if we're going to be true Christians. And so we have this little list that we go through in our mind. I'm going to have to dress a particular way. I'm going to have to talk a particular way. You know, talk in King James English. But what it does is that legalism weighs us down. Paul uses the word, do not be ensnared in the yoke. And the yoke was a big piece of most commonly used was wood that was put around an oxen or a couple of oxen to keep them together so they could be used for plowing or for farming. That piece of wood by itself weighs roughly around 80 to 100 pounds. So imagine in the heat of the day walking around with just this big thing on your back. And Paul is saying, do not go back to this type of lifestyle because it's very oppressive. It weighs you down. I'm reminded of a story of a young lady who was just walking by church. She had no plans to stop. But somehow, might have been the singing, might have been the preaching, something drew her. So she stopped. And while in the back of the church, the Spirit of God spoke to her. And so weeping, she went forward. And as she got to the front of the church, someone walked up to her and said, "Well, now that the Spirit is speaking to you, you can't wear that earring, you can't wear that necklace, you have to stop dressing this particular way." And she froze. And she turned around and she walked right out. Someone had come to give her a checklist of what it means to be a Christian. Something that was oppressive, that was restrictive. Legalism, very restrictive. As we talked about a yoke, the ox could not go where it wanted because the yoke and the person who was then controlling the yoke would tell him where to go. Not only that, but he was generally strapped to another ox. And so if ox on the left wanted to go left and ox on the right wanted to go right, you had a problem. It was restrictive. But Paul was also pointing out that this type of legalism was excessive. By excessive, we mean this is not necessary. This is above anything that's needed. You don't have to live this way, Paul says, because Christ's death is sufficient. What God has done for you on the cross is enough. So you do not have to fall into these laws, into these rules, into these checklists, because Christ is enough. So Paul wants the church in Galatia to be free of legalism, but he wants them also to be free to live. Life in the Spirit is freeing because the Holy Spirit is living through you and you don't have to figure out everything. You don't have to have it all figured out because the Holy Spirit is working in you. Paul goes on to say that we should walk by the Spirit. This is what he says in verse 16. Let us walk by the Spirit. And the word translated walk here is perpetual, which sounds very much like an English word that we use, perpetual. Paul is saying constantly, without ceasing, without breaking, you need to walk according to the Spirit. He also goes on to say that you needed to be led by the Spirit. So if you've seen me walking around here with Brian, I'm trying to lead him. And when I'm holding his hands, he tries to walk with me because I'm leading him. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you, not into bondage, but in freedom. He wants you to take you to where you need to be. Paul goes on in verse 25 to say that we need to live by the Spirit. Let us pause for a moment. This word translated live is not what you get when you ask someone, "How are you doing?" and they go, "I'm okay." "How is everything?" "Fine." No, this word translated live speaks to vibrancy, speaks to being alive, being vivacious, being out there. I am enjoying life. It's exciting. It's fulfilling. Live by the Spirit, Paul says. Also in verse 25, Paul uses another word, which some versions translate as walk again. But he uses it to say keep step with the Spirit. As a young kid, I used to go to church with my dad on Sundays. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. And so he would have to go to church a little bit earlier than my mom. And being a part of the Sunday school, I'd walk with him. So imagine an 8 or 9 year old kid walking with his dad. We never had cars, so we'd be walking to church, roughly about a mile, and my dad had a longer stride pattern than I did. But I'm trying to keep in step with my dad, so I need to figure out his rhythm, I need to figure out how he walked, because I wanted to be right there beside him. So the word translated keep step is being able to figure out the rhythm of the Holy Spirit work in you, keeping stride with the Holy Spirit so you don't linger, you're not lagging behind, but you're in step with everything that the Holy Spirit is doing. So Paul says, keep step with the Holy Spirit. This freedom to live that Paul speaks to is also a freedom that frees us from guilt. Paul says that those who live by the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, that there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, is what Paul says. So if you can live in a way that you don't have to feel guilty, you don't have to feel sad that something you did is going to be taken wrong, isn't that a very freeing way to live? Paul says, if you live by the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against that. So you don't have to feel guilty because you can rest assured that what you did was done properly. But this way of living is also a life, is also a way that's free of penalty. Paul says that someone has crept in. Someone is leading you astray. And I don't know who that is, but that person will have to answer to the penalty for what they're doing. But if you're living by the Spirit, that's not you. You don't have that checklist. You're not leading people astray, saying they have to do this. It's very freeing. So we're free from legalism. We're free to live. But thirdly, Paul says we're free to love. This freedom to love is a freedom to love God. This is where we say, I don't have to do this because God mandates me to do it, but I'm raising my hand in worship because God has been good to me. I don't have to somebody doesn't have to tell me when to sing, but I'm going to sing because what God has done in my life is so tremendous that I can't help but sing. Someone doesn't have to force me to give, but I'm going to give back to God because everything I have comes from God. A very good example of this comes in Mark chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. In this story, Simon Peter's mom was sick, was very sick in bed, and Jesus comes in, takes her hands, and the sickness leaves her, and immediately the verse says she began to wait on them, or she began to serve them, because she understands that she has been blessed, she has been healed, and so nobody has to tell me to serve. I'm serving out of my gratitude to what God is doing. So there's a freedom to love God, but there's also a freedom to love each other. Paul uses the word agape as he speaks of love. Agape means to be able to love both those who are favorable and those who are unfavorable. That means the neighbor, the coworker, and the guy that cut you off in traffic just yesterday. God is calling you to love. That's what he calls you to do in the fruit of the Spirit, to love one another. He also speaks of long-suffering as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is patient endurance under injuries inflicted by others. So when someone else does something, that's how the long-suffering comes out. It's not just sitting there and praying, God, make me long-suffering. But when someone really does and says something that really hurts, to be able to rest knowing that God's got it, I don't have to figure it out. It speaks of kindness. Kindness, a favorable disposition towards one's neighbor, showing goodness and concern towards others. Are you getting the drift? That the fruit of the Spirit is kind of pushing you to be more relational, more loving, more kind. Whereas the work of the flesh is pushing you to be selfish, to be self-centered, to be self-promoting. God is saying, hey, when I come in, I want you to be more loving, to be more kind, to be more considerate. Paul speaks of peace, which is a wholeness of soul that ushers in a tranquil disposition regardless of outward circumstances. In other words, everything around me may seem crazy, but I can be at peace because God's got it. The doctor gave me a diagnosis I don't like, but I can be at peace because God's got it. My boss might be sabotaging me, but I can be at peace because God's got it. So there's this freedom to love each other. But coming out of this love, Paul says there should be a freedom to serve one another. That is, the word translated serve actually can be translated slave. So Paul says there should be this mutual relationship where you generally care about one another. You want to love on each other, not for self-promotion, not for position, not for possession, but because you see in the other person a little bit of what God is doing. So I'm not doing this to get glory, for others to see me. I'm doing this because I love you. Here at Promised Land, our vision statement says to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and with each other. The very first week of this series, Pastor Lacey gave the very good illustration that if we're crucified with Christ, then we should be walking and talking and Christ should be right there. Well, if the Holy Spirit is truly in you, is truly in charge of you, then you cannot help but be always present in everything and everywhere, the Holy Spirit being in control of your life. Everything you say bears fruit. Let me put this another way. When we think about what it means to bear fruit, a tree never works to bear fruit. The fruit comes out of what the tree is. It comes from the nature of the tree. That's how it reproduces. It comes out of itself. And so God is saying, I don't need you to work to do anything. I just need you to be open to what I'm going to do in you. That's where the fruit comes from. And I need us to pause to also to realize that it didn't say fruits, but it says fruit. Because all of us are expected to have this love, this patience, this kindness, this peace. It's not just for so-and-so who sings on the praise team. It's not just for so-and-so who preaches or who testifies. But all of us are expected to have this fruit coming out of us. And when we do so, then this church will truly be a church that reflects a love for each other because that fruit is coming out of our very being. So, what does that mean for us all these years later? It means that if you have been one of those persons who have been hurt because someone else has a checklist, and they tell you that because you didn't do this, you cannot truly be saved, God is saying, no, there's freedom, come. If you are the person who has the checklist, God is saying, let it go and come. Or quite possibly, you are the person who has been so burdened with this checklist that you've not yet been able to enjoy life. You've not been able to celebrate and to tap into this life that the Holy Spirit gives. Then Paul is saying, let it go. Or possibly you think, because of my circumstance, because of what I'm going through, because my spouse did this, or my boss has done this, or my neighbor's done this, I can't have this love that you're talking about. And God's saying, turn it over to me. I've got your back. Let it go. So here, today, in this year, 2015, we still have these checklists that we try to impose on people. Let me give you another quick example before I move on. I was sitting at a meeting, all pastors, and they were evaluating an event that had just happened. And it so happened that a drummer who played wore jeans. The band played wonderfully. They did very good. But pastors got very upset because the guy showed up in jeans. Thankfully, this was not promised land. But that is how we put these checklists above what God is doing in people's life. They couldn't celebrate the fact that this young guy a couple months ago was in the world but had now come to God and wanted to use his talents for God. They were upset. He wore jeans. Sometimes, in some circles, it's that you have to wear a coat. If you don't wear a jacket when you're preaching, you have sinned, so you have to wear one. In some places, it's wearing a tie. So I came prepared. I wore a tie, I wore a jacket, because I didn't want you all to leave here feeling upset. But all joking aside, do you have a checklist that God is saying to you today you need to let go of? Is God saying that you need to let go of that legalism and turn it over to me because my blood is enough? Are you going through life merely existing and God is saying, there's more, just trust me, there is enough, turn it over to me? Or are you going through life thinking, I can't love so-and-so because they are mean and they're awful, and God is saying, it's okay. I love them, so you can do that too. Turn it over to me. I'm enough. I don't know what situation you're coming from this morning, but God knows. And He wants to let you know that there's freedom. There's freedom to serve him. There's freedom to let go of all my rules and all my checklists. There's freedom to experience love just by turning your life over to God. So, we can keep step with the Holy Spirit. We can walk by the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. And if we have that opportunity, why don't we? So before you leave here today, whether you have a checklist you need to let go of, or whether it is something you need to hold on to, this new life that Jesus brings, the love that He gives, we have an opportunity for you here today to hold on to that which God has to give. If your life has not yet been bearing fruit, it possibly means that the Holy Spirit has not yet gotten control. And He's saying to you today, let go. And so this morning, we don't want you to leave here having not given your life over to God. Whether it's the list that you need to let go of, whether it's the life you need to let go of, or you just need to hold on to God to saying, give me that life, that exciting life, that vibrant life. There's an opportunity here for you today. An opportunity to say to God, I surrender all. An opportunity to say, I don't have to figure it out because I know God's got it. An opportunity where you can give your life over in service to God, not because you're mandated to, but because you are grateful for what God is doing. So I'm going to ask you right where you are, just to stand. And quite possibly, there's someone here who wants to say, I surrender. I want to let go. I want to give this new life a chance. If that's your story, we have persons who are willing and ready to pray with you this morning. Possibly you're saying that I want to experience a new and exciting life. I've done everything else and it hasn't worked. I want to try this new life. Then we're going to invite you just to raise your hands right where you are. And while we pray, all eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for your goodness towards us. We give you thanks that you've called us to freedom. That according to your word, we can be free of the rules that so easily shackle us. That we can be free to read and to pray and to fast, not because we're mandated to, but because God, we do so in order to get closer to you and to know you for ourselves. Across this building, God, we pray for those persons whose hands are raised. We ask, oh God, that you take charge over their lives this morning. That, Lord, you give them a new lease on life. That you bring the excitement that your word speaks of. You bring the freedom that only you can give. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to do so, then I invite you just to say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you just as I am, and I ask, dear God, that you take charge over my life, and that you'll fill me with your Spirit, and that my life will also bear fruit. So take my life, Jesus, and use it as you please. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're here this morning and you would like someone to pray for you before you go, we'll have leaders here at the front to be willing to do so. Or possibly if you want to experience baptism, we'd be happy to do that. We'd be happy to baptize you. We have pastors, we have clothes, we have towels, we have air products. All we need is you. God has called us to freedom, to a life free of legalism, to a free way of living. God has called us to experience His love. As you go from here today, my prayer is that you experience this love, you experience this freedom, and that you tap into God every chance you get this week and see what God is going to do in you. God bless you as you go. And remember, you can experience a new way of living if God is in charge of your life. So go with God and have a blessed week.